Hi, Eddie.
Welcome to this afternoon's COVID-19 update. I wanted to share a word from our healthcare professionals at Northwest Health, and I have a letter here to Governor Hutchinson. During this unprecedented health crisis, words cannot express how proud Northwest Health is of our staff's dedication and selflessness. We know we have an uphill battle to climb in caring for patients and helping stop the spread of coronavirus the days and weeks ahead. And they sent me one of their Northwest Medical Center masks, and the proceeds from the sale of these masks will go towards fall scholarship programs coordinated by the auxiliary. And so this is from the auxiliary, their volunteer coordinator, and I wanted to recognize them and the tremendous work that our volunteers are doing and our healthcare professionals. I'm pleased to be joined today by Dr. Nate Smith, Dr. Jose Romero, both of the Department of Health, and then also Stuart Walton, chairman of our Economic Recovery Task Force, who I've asked him to be here today to go through some polling data that I think that you will find of interest. Going to our case report for today, yesterday we had 24,512 cases. We had a lot of cases in the last 24 hours, and that is 734 cases. That brings the total to 25,246. Hospitalizations, I was very pleased that we had a decrease of 11 in hospitalizations. That brings that down to 358. In terms of deaths, we had an increase of 4. That brings it to 305. And so the number of cases is significant. If you break it down by counties, we had Washington County with 72. Pulaski County was top with 87. Benton County, 60. And then we had some new counties that Pope County had 46. Mississippi County, 39. Yale County, 32. Johnson County, 26. And Saline County, 21. And that is out of testing numbers of 4,567. And just my analysis of this is that we're seeing a number of new counties with over 20, and that shows that our testing is very widespread and we're detecting new elements of the virus that we can then go in and hopefully isolate. So the fact that it is spread out over the state gives us a chance to work our strategy in those counties. It's also a significant alert to those counties that have not been in the top 10 counties previously, that there's not any place that's immune from this, and we have to continue to be careful. You ask me, well, what can people do? And the answer is steady as you go. You cannot give up. You cannot quit on this. You've got to recognize that it's in our community, it's in our state, and we have to be aware of that everywhere that we go and how we're out in the public. And so with that, let's go to the graphs. We'll go through quickly, and you can see that we had a high day, not as high as we've had before, but certainly an uptick there from yesterday particularly. The rolling average, we're not where we were at the height. If we come down tomorrow, we'll be better. But we went down yesterday and up today. And then number of active cases, that's good to see. Yesterday had a significant change in the number of active cases, a little bit uptick today. And then currently the hospitalized, here again, it's nice to see that come back down. We need to relieve some of that pressure on our hospitals, and that's helping us for currently. And then the positive test by date of result is positivity results, and you can see we've had a couple days above 10%, which is not where we want to be. And the next one shows, I think, where we are in our rolling average on our positivity. which is flat, but we still would like to see that go down closer to the 5% positivity rate. So those are just a summary of where we are right now. I do want to mention the concern that we have on Washington County in terms of our testing. I've got a lot of reports that there are people are waiting in line in Washington County to get their tests done. And we have testing done at the Washington Regional Medical Center that is limited in their ability to do large quantities testing there. We also have our public health lab that is nearby there. And so everybody seems to be going to Washington Regional Medical Center, not sufficiently going to our public health lab, which has more capacity currently to do that. So we need to get the word out that there's a couple of different venues that you can go get your testing done in Washington County. And before Dr. Smith comes, I'll ask Dr. Romero if you could just come and elaborate on that.
Thank you, Governor. So the local health unit in Washington County is available for testing and will be ramping up testing further. We will offload a lot of the testing from Washington Regional with additional nurses and additional testing. Testing will be available from 7 in the morning to 7 o'clock at night, Monday through Friday. We expect to process a significant number of specimens at that site. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Romero. And now Dr. Smith has got some more details that to provide in it before I introduce Stuart Walt.
Thank you, Governor. Just to give a few more details on those numbers, we did have an increase from yesterday. We were expecting that. Of these 734 new cases, 104 of them are correctional facilities, 630 are community cases. Of our total 25,246 total cases, 5,545 are active, and of those, 125 are in nursing homes, 350 are in correctional facilities, so we currently have 5,070 active cases in the community. As the governor mentioned, we had a net decrease of 11 in our hospitalized, so we're at 358. We have also had a net decrease of 4 in our ventilated patients, so we're at 79 now. We've had 4 additional deaths, so we're at 305. We have an additional 671 recovered patients from yesterday, so our total recovered is 19,396. We have done more testing in yesterday than we had the previous 2 days. We did 4,567, not back up to what we were doing last week, but we still have some of a depression in the results that we're getting because of decreased testing over the 4th of July weekend. In terms of this graph here with many colored lines. Yesterday, I showed you the top 10 counties by total new cases per day. This is a different way of depicting the similar data. These are our cumulative cases per 10,000 population. So this shows you on a population basis where are our top counties and what is the shape of those curves, their trajectories. And yesterday, the top counties were Washington and Benton counties in terms of total numbers of cases. Well, the top curve here in the blue line is Sevier County. And even though it doesn't have the greatest number of cases or the greatest number of new cases on a population basis, it's our top of our top 10 counties in terms of overall cases. And we'll be going to Dequeen on Friday and focusing on some of these smaller counties that have fewer cases but a large number of cases per population. The second one on there, that green line, is Yell County, which also has a high rate of cases per population. and we've been working with them closely. Now, fortunately, you can see both of them have flattened out a bit. So we're making some progress there. The third is this red line, Faulkner County. I'm sorry, Washington County is the bright red line, and that's not unexpected. We know they've had a lot of cases. Interestingly, Crittenden County is right below them, even though they've been pretty flat. And then we have Benton County in the orange. Interestingly, Pulaski County, which we're worried about because we're seeing, you know, it was the top in terms of the number of new cases in the last 24 hours, 87 cases. But on a population basis, they're the green line. They're third from the bottom of this set. So this is just a different way of depicting similar data, highlighting that we do have some counties that have not had large numbers of cases, but cases per population have been high, which means that there's a risk there for those living in those counties. They need to take those precautions. They need to practice physical distancing, wearing masks, avoiding large gatherings, et cetera. Clearly, we also have these counties with high numbers of cases, still Washington County, Benton County, and Pulaski County. We also need to be very careful. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. And Stuart Walton, as you know, has chaired our Economic Recovery Task Force. He's devoted a lot of time and energy to it, and they have been very, very instrumental in reaching out to different industry, business groups, listening to them, but it also includes the church community, includes the nonprofit community as well. And Stuart had the suggestion, and he initiated a statewide survey that I wanted him to present in more detail. I gave a little teaser for that last week, but he's got a number of slides that he'll go through quickly, but it's really important data that helps us understand public attitudes. Stuart?
Good afternoon. Thank you, Governor. Thanks for having me today. I don't know anybody that likes to wear these things, myself included, but I have noticed that one silver lining is sort of pulls your ears forward, and so your hearing improves a little bit. And so, in the hopes of finding some positive news and thinking along, positive mental attitude, I've been trying to think of various ways to frame it. Anyway, we had a task force meeting today, and it was in person for the most part. It was a good task force meeting. We were able to go through some of the slides that I'm about to go through with you. The task force continues to work. I must say the water is being carried by the three secretaries, Secretary Hurst, Secretary Ward, Secretary Preston. They're just doing an outstanding job leading their various committees of the task force. And we continue to work closely with the Department of Health as well as with various statewide leaders, both on and off the task force. So let me run through these slides. This gives you a bit of a kind of the detail in terms of when. It's not stale yet. These come from just a little over a week ago. 18 and up, and 48% landline, 52% cell phone. And you have to remember this is broadly focused to capture the adult population of Arkansas as it is understood from the 2019 census. So we broke down age, race, geographic location, all based on the 2019 census, and that's how the survey was conducted. I'm just going to go through kind of the highlights from each of these. Normally, the economy is the number one issue in Arkansas. Obviously, that's not the case here. But if you think about the Economic Recovery Task Force, you can kind of blend those top two together, and you're looking at 60% of the population think that COVID-19 and this sort of interlinked economic crisis is the most important issue facing Arkansas. And it's just really, I think, on the minds of Arkansans. They're learning about it. They're reading about it. They're consuming news about it. And it's just, it is as big a deal as it seems to be day in, day out. This is the slide the governor showed last week. This is exactly how the question was asked. And this is 600 people, as you know, so almost 500 people, if you take that 82%, said that they do wear personal protective equipment like a mask in public places. Now, you know, I don't see a lot of people wearing gloves and not a mask. I think sanitizer could be a part of that, but this is a little more detail there where you see the age breakout. Now, note, we're starting at 18, but my guess is that it might even be lower if you pulled folks under 18, but that is sort of what you'd expect to see, I think, across the board. It is what it is sort of the data. And I think if you have young folks in your household or working with young folks, the more you can encourage them to wear a mask or personal protective equipment, you know, to protect others, not necessarily themselves. They're not so worried about getting it just because of the way the numbers break down. But I think that's a really important thing to do. This is pretty interesting. It talks about do we think a regional or a statewide approach is more appropriate? You know, quite a bit of support for both, but actually more than half of the folks say a regional approach is a better way forward. I think, you know, with the proclamation last week around cities being able to enact their own ordinances, this is consistent with that. And I think if you just look at the variety of counties, case numbers, the per capita numbers, and you know, some that don't have very, very few, it you can see how this would make sense to a lot of folks. These colors are a little tricky to see, but this is if you work outside your home. So this was not answered, say, if you were retired or if you worked at home or if you were didn't work, but here you can see 58% of the population say, yes, our workplace is following proper protocols. And I think that's a pretty good sign. 33 said, don't know, not applicable. And those are the folks that would be retired or where it just wasn't applicable to them. And then 9, so relatively small number, said no. Really interesting stat here, because I think this shows Arkansas is paying attention. But large events, are you going to be comfortable going to one this fall? Or I guess more specifically, do you favor or oppose large events resuming this fall? 54% oppose and 37% strongly oppose. And I think that just comes from people understanding that those are the risky areas. That's where you're going to have the highest risk of one person infecting a lot of folks. So really interesting data here, concerning for sure. There's also this concern that the surge in the fall that's going to come, of course, we don't know that. We're kind of experiencing a little bit of one right now, I'd say. But again, there's just some concern out there, and it's an informed concern. This one's also, I think, you can read it sort of two different ways. How likely are you to send your kids back to school in the fall? Well over half say yes, likely, half very likely. And so I think that's positive. The flip side of that coin, though, is that if you ask this in a non-COVID environment, your likely would be 100%. I mean, or 99 point whatever, right? So the fact that it's this bifurcated, to me, is again, shows a lot of concern out there. I think schools, you know, we're seeing it on the task force. It's one of the biggest issues that people are grappling with right now. And it's just kind of how and what school's going to look like in the fall. But it's certainly a big deal. Another slide, maybe not totally unexpected, just in terms of how this shakes out. But how comfortable are you doing in-person activities, kind of your everyday activities most Arkansans do? You know, 32% very comfortable, 22% very uncomfortable. And, you know, I think that reflects both where we are, the time that the survey was given, but also just shows that there's still a fair number of folks who are uncomfortable, and then some folks who are just, more at ease with the current state of play. So that's just kind of a snapshot of the survey. We will post the sort of key takeaways and slides from the survey on ArkansasReady.com. I just would encourage folks to take a look at the data, think about it. It's some really good and instructive information just for kind of understanding where we're at as a state, where how people are feeling. Appreciate the governor's consistent message and consistent leadership on this. It feels like the education of the state really is happening, and I was really encouraged, actually, by a lot of what we found here. I've said at this podium before, but I think it continues to be worth repeating. The best way to help this economy, our state's economy, recover is to continue to reduce the spread of the virus. Much as we hate them, the masks are important. It's about the best that we have right now. With that, I'll turn it back over, Governor. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, Stuart. And with that, we'll take questions.
With this big increase in cases, is there any idea where that's coming, like specific locations that's coming from, or any reason for the big increase?
Well, I asked that question as I was presented with this data. And, the 700 that we have today is going to take us some time to trace that down. But we did look back 3 or 4 days ago and, again, analyze, when people are asked the question, when they're in the contact tracing, where have you been? There was not any that were small percents. I mean, 0.1, 0.4, 1% or 2% identified some of the, restaurants, bars, gyms, some of those. So that did not cause us a concern. And it tells us that these are simply being spread through normal community activities. And so it could be a party at the house. It could be going to a function. It could be going to any place in the community and not being careful. And that's what I believe that we're seeing in various places across Arkansas. And so in some ways, the data shows that there is community spread. In other ways, the data shows that it's not being the result of some of the specific activities that we've historically had restrictions on. And so it's very helpful to understand that. We continue to look at that every day as to where we can identify any clusters or any areas of concern that we can more specifically address. Dr. Smith, did you want to add to that?
Yes, so the governor is absolutely right. We're at a phase of this epidemic where we're not seeing this being driven primarily by a specific setting like nursing homes or correctional facilities or some particular occupation. This is something that's happening in the community. Of course, if someone is infected, they're very likely to bring it home with them. It's difficult to prevent the spread of COVID-19 in a home, especially before you even know you're infected. So this is the phase of the epidemic where we all have to take individual action as well, with the mask wearing, physical distancing, being very careful about these gatherings, even if they're not terribly large. If no one's wearing a mask, if people are interacting very closely, breathing each other's air, it only takes one person asymptomatically infected without symptoms to be able to spread COVID-19 in that setting. So we have to be careful, and we are seeing that we're also seeing cases in some of the smaller counties. So this isn't just a big city problem, not just a Northwest Arkansas problem. We just need to take precautions throughout the state.
I guess what's your biggest takeaway from seeing some of the numbers there, especially when it comes to schools?
We continue to have work to do. I mean, steady at the helm. It is not giving up. It's being consistent in our approach. And, you know, Arkansas is not unique. You see other cases that are on the rise. You know, if you look at the New York Times, which I look at every once in a while, and in terms of not, well, in terms of their COVID reporting, and for some time we were on the list of states that were increasing in their numbers. And if you looked at it today, they've got increasing, decreasing, and level, and we're on the level pattern. And we were on the increasing pattern. So, you know where we are in reference to the national circumstances, we're holding our own. But you let up for a minute, it gets the best of us. And so it's a matter of sticking with our message, our responsibility, and our strategy. And, you know, if you ask me, where's the virus going to be tomorrow? And what's our number of cases going to be 3 days from now? I can't tell you where we're going to be. All I can tell you is we've got to stick with this. We're in better shape than many, but we've got a lot of work to do still. Is there any question remotely?
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Want to ask you about President Trump today. Threatened to withhold funding to schools that don't reopen for for in-person instruction in the fall, and apparently the CDC is going to be issuing new guidance on school openings. I know I'd asked you about similar comments from Secretary DeVos yesterday. Just want to see what do you think about these comments, and how does that impact the approach for schools here and kind of the blended approach you've talked about.
I just met with a group of teachers, and it was exciting to hear their interest and really enthusiasm for in-classroom instruction type school next year. And so, you know, what the president has said and what the White House has said is really consistent with what I've been saying a month ago, and if not longer, is that we're going to start school this year with in-classroom instruction with a blended environment, an option to go virtual as needed, and that's where we're going. You know, it's the responsibility for education has been devolved upon the states, so that's where we are historically. We're going to make good judgments for Arkansas based upon where we are in this state in terms of our cases, in terms of the community spread, in terms of what's required for public health in each of the schools. We're going to make those judgments, and that's the direction we're going.
Governor?
And by the way, tomorrow we will be focusing on education in our daily update. I'll have either Secretary Key here or another member of his team because we did want to be able to give an update on exactly some of our plans and where we're going. Did you have a follow-up, Andrew?
Governor, this is Mike McNeil at MagnoliaReporter.com. A UAMS study released yesterday predicts 150,000 active cases daily in Arkansas by October 30th, if nothing changes. Asking people to wear masks seems like a pretty lukewarm response given the magnitude of the threat that UAMS sees. What is the next level of response from the state to curb this crisis?
Well, as you can see from the most recent modeling, the modeling changes weekly based upon what the data shows. And as you can see, you know, the last modeling report had the peak time around September 30th. Now it's been extended further, which means it's been flattened. They pointed out for the first time that even if it got to the level of their predictions, that we have the hospital capacity to cover that. And so their data is going to change weekly based upon how we perform. They're absolutely right that behavior makes a difference, and the fact that their modeling flattened out shows that the behavior is improving and that it's making a difference in Arkansas. What more steps you can do? We look at it every day. One of the steps we took, which really partly looked at the data from the polling, was the interest in regional approaches to our state. We're all different. And so one of the things was the model ordinance that cities can adopt or cannot adopt. Mike, Magnolia can adopt that ordinance, and that might, is an option that they can take to help if they choose to do so. And we continue to look at, you know, we're willing to use additional tools if the data shows that there's a connection and we can make a difference in the spread of the virus. Yes, Alex.
We're hearing some reports of a possible outbreak or COVID-19 activity at a summer camp called Camp Ozark. Did the Department of Health take any action to shut the camp down, and does this cause concern for other summer camps that are in session?
Dr. Smith, you want to take that, or Dr. Romero?
Yes, they shared, Camp Ozark shared the information that they had on out-of-state campers and a counselor. They took action. They initially sent campers home and some counselors home, and then as they had additional cases, they made the decision on their own to go ahead and close down for now. We support that decision, and we appreciate them partnering with us, and we'll continue to work with them in whatever way needed. We also will do the same for other summer camps that may, if they have issues of a similar nature, if they have campers or counselors who are diagnosed with COVID-19, and happy to work with them to help make those environments as safe as possible, but also help make those decisions when it's time to go ahead and shut down operations, at least for a time.
Do we have an explanation for some of the other counties that we normally don't see here, you know, Mississippi, Johnson, Saline, on what is happening down there, or is this just kind of more of that community?
Just an indication that the virus is in every county in this state, and it's a matter of how you're going to protect yourself from the virus that is in your area. All right, is there another question remotely?
Hey, Governor, this is Andrew Epperson from KNWA News. I'd like to hear from and Dr. Smith on this. I know a lot of Arkansas universities have already issued their reopening plans. In talking specifically about the University of Arkansas, a bunch of the student population is from Texas and other hotbed areas. What is y'all's advice to students traveling to and from those areas? And then also, should universities like the University of Arkansas that have already issued their plan perhaps reevaluate in terms of how they handle students traveling to and from those areas?
Our Department of Health has worked very closely with higher education, and thanks to the legislature and to the recommendations of our steering committee, we've actually put a lot of dollars in higher education ability to do testing, contact tracing within that higher ed environment. So I fully support the plan to have academics, to have school open next year at the higher education level, and we're going to fully support them. You know, as people come in from, as students come in from Texas or other states, you know, we expect them to be tested if they're symptomatic. We will identify that and address that accordingly. Whenever you get in the environment there, there's going to be positive cases, and we just have to deal with it and to work through it and to provide the health to the students that we can. Dr. Smith?
Yes, we will. We're going to continue to work carefully with higher education. We are meeting with them. Again, this is not something that anyone's ever done before. You know, this is a new situation. We know the principles that work, and we know situations that are riskier than others. But we understand that each of the universities and colleges are a little bit different, and they will apply those principles with some level of variation. Some will, maybe take a more cautious approach with heavier emphasis on online education, and some may be a little bit more aggressive in working towards in-person educational settings. But each of the colleges and universities have different student populations. They're in different communities. They have different capabilities. But we'll also work with them so that if we do run into to challenges in terms of COVID-19 transmission, that we detect that early, that we take action as soon as possible and minimize the spread of COVID-19 and allow them to make any adjustments that they may need to continue on with education in as safe an environment as possible.
Yes.
In the past, you've said that you be watching what happens with summer camps carefully, as that might inform your decision with schools in the fall? Now that we've had an outbreak at a summer camp, does that change anything or inform your decision?
That's a great question, and my answer is that there is a lot of information that you can get. You can have some very stringent requirements, as we did for camp counselors and for the health requirements and testing and quarantining, but it's a question as to how those actually operate in the environment. In this case, it was summer camps, and it's challenging. And despite all of the best precautions, you still had some positive cases there. And so it simply means that whenever we reconvene, we're going to have to adhere to those public health guidelines very strictly and not ignore, not that the summer camps did, but that we realize that when you have that congregation of people, it's going to be a challenging environment that you got to work with. And hopefully, you know, our hope is that as we get to the fall, you're going to have a decreasing number of cases. That makes a difference. Right now, you've got this virus in every county. You've got it concentrated in some counties. And if we can reduce that, then it minimizes the ability to have that spread in the whether it's a university setting, a school setting, or whether it's a camp setting.
I guess President Trump tweeted that he thinks the CDC guidelines on reopening schools are too strict. Do you agree with that? And are schools in Arkansas going to be following the CDC guidelines?
Well, the CDC guidelines are guidelines. So we uniquely apply those to our environment here in Arkansas. And it's my understanding they're going to be coming out with new CDC guidelines. So we'll continue to watch, be informed by them. But ultimately, we're going to make the decisions based upon the uniqueness of our circumstances here and what we see and our public health guidance from here. Is there one more question remotely? And we'll come back to Leslie then. I think I saw her.
Yes, Governor. Good afternoon. It's Neil Gladner in Hot Springs. I want to go back to the poll and ask you a question, because public health officials have been saying for some time that if mass compliance would be, depending on the doctor, 60 to 70%, that we'd have a really good handle on the virus. 82% of Arkansans, if I understood that poll correctly, said they were using protective equipment. How would you interpret that, as someone has looked at polls for a long time? Is that maybe awareness versus compliance, or how do you look at that number?
Well, you've got to think about the person who answers that question. If you're somebody who's got a mask in your hand and you've worn it two or three times, and the question is, do you wear protective equipment? Sure, I do. But does that mean you're going to have it every time you go to the store? Does that mean you're going to be fully compliant with it? Or does that mean you use it sometimes? And so I think it was an encouraging number, but it doesn't mean that we've got every resident of Arkansas wearing the mask 100% of the time for 82% of the people. I think it means you've got 82% of the people of Arkansas wearing a mask some of the time. I think that is the answer and how they're looking at it. Stuart, did you have anything more on that? One final question. Well, who are you talking?
The response was more aspirational.
You know, you got to be getting the mind of the person who's answering it. I don't know that it's aspirational. I think they were being honest and factual, but not complete. Again, they're not wearing it necessarily 100% of the time. So you can analyze, but you got to understand the question, and that's how I look at it. Although we've increased mask wearing dramatically in Arkansas, and I get reports that in a lot of stores it is even at a higher rate than that, but I just interpret it that Arkansans are wearing the mask, and they're utilizing it, but it's certainly not 100% of the time. Leslie, I'm sorry, you have.
Well, the same study put out by the College of Public Health does not predict that cases will be slowing down in the fall if people are going back to school, you know, some of their summaries. And so it also predicts that deaths will be substantially higher unless we do more to take safety precautions. So Is there anything you think you can do to improve safety precautions that people are doing? You as governor.
Well, just stay tuned. You know, as we just like last week, there was a violation of our public health guidance. We took steps. If we see additional steps that we can take that make sense, we will take those steps. And, you know, we're still a couple months away. We're still refining some of the guidelines for some of the activities that we expect in the fall. And we're going to work very closely with making sure those guidelines are appropriate and do everything that we can to avoid spread and also keep people safe. You know, in terms of the modeling data, it's going to change next week. And it's going to change the week after that. It's going to change the week after that. So that's going to be an ongoing dialogue. I look at it. I try to learn from it. But I also know that that predictive model is difficult to ascertain its level of reliance. Dr. Smith? I can tell he wanted to say something there.
I think the fundamental question here is, can we do anything about an upward trajectory? And I think the clear answer is yes, because we have. We had an increase of cases here in central Arkansas, and then it came down. Now it's going back up again. In northwest Arkansas, you know, we had steady increases, and week after week, Washington and Benton counties were vying for the most number of new cases each day. And, you know, we have had at least a week of clearly downward trend in that part of the state. Now, I give the community a lot of credit for the things that they've done, but it's been testing, contact tracing, it's been physical distancing, wearing masks, all these things. But we have been able to bend that curve and turn it downward, even with that steep upward slope that we had. So we can do it. We know how to do it. And in northwest Arkansas, we were able to do it without rolling back any of the businesses and economic activities. Now in central Arkansas, we need to also do some similar work, and we can do it. We know how to do it. It's just really the will to do it.
Last question right here.
Governor, do you know approximately how many reports or complaints of noncompliance from places of operations and whether that number has increased since ABC officials have started going?
And that's a very good question. I have reviewed the specific information from our ABC enforcement officers that were concentrating on those premises with alcohol permits and their level of compliance. And it was surprisingly a high level of compliance, but there were some violators in there. So we did have that specific information. In terms of the public, some of that comes into the Department of Health, and Secretary Smith might be able to get any data for you on the number of complaints, but I don't have that. Thank you very much. And so, as I mentioned, tomorrow we'll take a closer look at education. And then on Friday, we will be in Sevier County, which, as you know, is an important county for our state in terms of per capita number of cases. So we'll be down in Duquesne broadcasting remotely on Friday. Thank you.